This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray. We've made it. We've finally made it. Week zero is here. We will have four games involving FBS teams on Saturday. And then, before we know it, week one will be here and we're off and running. But it is going to be exciting. I am so fired up for this football season. And Matt Eumanns, Adam Burke will join me on this episode to give us their thoughts on week zero, a couple best bets from myself and Matt. I know Adam also has a column up on VSiN.com. And the good news is we're planning on running it back like we did the past couple of years, an early week podcast with myself and Adam Burke, and then the week breakdown of best bets with Matt Eumann later on in the week. So looking forward to that. If there's anything specific, we obviously will let you know. But I just, before we jump into week zero breakdown and everything that we're thinking about week one and a tweet that I put out there that kind of took off, I just want to take a minute and thank you guys. And I know it's something so stupid, but you guys really have been great. The ratings continue to fly in. Now, you can always add more. And it's been a lot of fun seeing the reaction, hearing from you guys, hearing from some folks in the business, and appreciate all the people who jumped on the podcast this year, all of my VSiN colleagues throughout the summer. It's been a lot of fun. I love doing this podcast multiple times a week. It is, I don't want to say it's my favorite thing to do because I do get to host a show on a nightly basis on VSiN, but getting to talk college football almost 12 months a year is awesome. And it's a credit to you guys. And I appreciate you guys chiming in, and let's keep it rolling all throughout the football season. Hopefully we get some winners. I believe the final count, and thank you to at Will Howard Guy for tweeting me and asking, because I was going to do this anyways. I put together a Google Doc and put a screenshot out there on social media of the bets that I have made and given out on this podcast. And I don't know how many of them you guys followed, tailed, faded, whatever it may have been. But we ended up with, I believe, in total 13 futures bets. The unique way to bet Notre Dame over 9.5 at -$2. UCLA under 5.5. Nico Imeleava to win the Heisman. Iowa over 7.5. Hawaii over 4.5. KJ Jefferson and Kyron Drones both at 150-1 to win the Heisman. Duke under 2.5 conference wins. Houston under 2.5 conference wins. Indiana over 5.5 wins. And then our cross-board parlays of Oregon to make the CFP, paired with the Eagles to win the NFC East. Liberty to win CUSA, paired with Chiefs to win the AFC West. And then Notre Dame over 5.5 home wins. So we'll keep tabs on it. Hopefully we have a very successful year. But it's been fun kind of working through the markets, different points of the season, adding these bets. And to be honest, most of them, as we went through a couple episodes ago, have moved in our direction. So we'll keep tabs on those. And thank you for the tweet for asking for the breakdown of the bets. And I put all the dates there because I know in the gambling world, sometimes people give out stale numbers. And that's certainly what I try my best not to do. Every number that we gave out on the show was available at that very time. And hopefully, if you did decide to follow that bet, you ultimately were able to get it at the price or thereabouts of what we talked about. So as mentioned, Matt and Adam coming up in just a little bit. This is going to be a pretty quick open here, but I wanted to mention this, and we'll talk more week one, obviously, next week. But I put out a tweet, pretty vanilla tweet, on Wednesday, just stating the fact that Texas A&M had become a 3-point favorite over Notre Dame in that week one showdown in College Station. I was, you know, thank you to Pete Sampson and Andy Staples for retweeting it, which led to the fire of all of this. But I wanted to read you just a couple of the reactions because, man, it really seemed to strike a nerve with Notre Dame fans. I got one today that I sent over to Pete Sampson and Matt Fortuna, who co-host the Independent podcast. And this was the tweet that was put out there that really made me laugh today regarding it. And it was, ND plus three is free bleeping money. As a Notre Dame fan, the more I hear about things like that, the more I get very worried about, is it though? And my partner on VSiN Primetime, Jonathan Von Tobel, has taken the, or laid the points, I should say, with Texas A&M. So we'll dive more into that, but some of the responses were absolutely hilarious. And for a tweet that was as simply put as Notre Dame is now a 3-point underdog to Texas A&M at Circa Sports and DraftKings Sportsbook, at the point of record right now on this Thursday, it's got over 330,000 impressions. Like, really? Just off that? Okay. Let me see another one. Perfect. Watch the clinic our defense will put on them. And that, I believe, was a Notre Dame fan. I don't know. He didn't put it one way or the other. So it was very funny to see the reactions on a very, what I seem to be, just a factual tweet that I put out there. All right, real quickly, let's take a look at where we stand week zero line movements, because it's been a lot. Aviva Stadium, noon Eastern, Georgia Tech, Florida State. This thing at Circa touched 14 way back on June 11th, stayed 14 for 4 days, and then came down to 13. And that's pretty much where it had lived the majority of the time. This week, we saw a lot of movement down to 10.5, touched 10, and has now bounced back to 10.5. There is an offshore shop at 10 right now at time of record. SMU Nevada, this game's been all over the place. Open 20.5 at DraftKings, 21 at Circa, got as high as 27, and now has settled in at around 24.5. How about this one? And we actually talked about this game on one of the podcasts this summer, where I was just pondering out loud, what is the spread going to be with Montana State at New Mexico? And very, very silly of me to think, hey, maybe if we whisper, maybe we'll get a really cheap number on Montana State. No, we didn't. There was a 4.5 out there at FanDuel, and that went away very, 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 very quickly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is out to as high as 13.5. An FCS team, this would be the largest FCS spread over an FBS team. Shouts to Brad Powers for giving us that nugget on VSiN Primetime ever. And then lastly, the beautiful get back game, Hawaii taking on Delaware State. We'll talk more about this game with Matt coming up, but this game, there was apparently a rogue 27.5. I never saw it. I'm not calling people liars, but I know that apparently that was out there. Looking at the line history at DraftKings, they opened 38 and they sit 40.5. VSiN Primetime, I was able to grab 38.5, and we'll talk more about this game, but a little bit of line move towards the Rainbow Warriors here in this spot. Delaware State dealing with quite the scheduling snafu this week. In case you missed it, I'm going to read you the tweet from Stephen Tsai, who covers Hawaii Athletics. Delaware State spokeswoman confirms Hornets missed today's, this was August 20th, 10.5-hour flight to Honolulu because of a bus snafu to JFK Airport. We're working on a plan, the spokeswoman said. I don't know why you have to travel from Dover to New York to fly to Honolulu. I guess that would be the only direct flight, but it hasn't been ideal, I guess, for the Hornets of Delaware State as they head out to the island for a late-night get-back game, midnight Eastern start. So week zero is here. We are fired up. Thank you again. I know I already said it, but please continue. Rate, review, subscribe. If you bump into a random stranger, say, hey, heard about the College Football Betting Podcast? You should subscribe to it. So let's keep it rolling as the games get going. Adam Burke coming up last. Up next, Matt Eumanns to break down week zero and a couple of best bets from the both of us. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And as promised, the man you'll hear every Thursday on this podcast. Always looking forward to running it back. We had the Big Ten preview just a couple weeks back. Make sure you check that out if you haven't done so by now and read Matt's work. It is Matt Eumanns who joins us right now. Matt, we've got four games, and it's not the sexiest slate, but we got football, and these games count, and we actually have a conference game as well. So let's start in Dublin, noon Eastern, Aviva Stadium, number 10 Florida State, Georgia Tech, and we've seen a lot of line movement here, and I'm curious your thoughts on this movement as it touched 14 at one point this summer at Circa, came down as low as 10 on Tuesday, and it looks like it's settling around 10.5. Maybe we get back to 10, but it seems like a lot of support out there in the betting community for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, you know, typically you have to keep in mind here that a lot of bettors are guessing, too. So it's not like anybody's got some inside information. They know Georgia Tech's going to ambush Florida State and Ireland. That's not the case. I lean underdog here at 11. Obviously, the number's down a few points, and it's pretty much 10 across the board, 10.5. And you can find an 11, I think, at Caesars William Hill. I have not bet this game, for the record, and I might not bet this game. Total 55.5. I do think a couple things point to Georgia Tech just in terms of a lean. Haynes King, the quarterback, was pretty good last season. Threw for 2,800 yards, 27 touchdowns. Ran for 737 yards and 10 touchdowns. Did throw 16 picks. It's turned over a little bit too much, but I would expect him to be a little bit better this season. I think Georgia Tech's going to be a well-coached team that's going to hang in this game. In terms of Florida State, you got DJ Uiagalelei, and I usually defer to you because you're so good at pronouncing his last name. But, you know, again, he's at in a new program and a new offense. His offensive coordinator is suspended for this game, right? Not going to be on the field. How quickly do you think DJ and the Seminoles can hit the ground running here? I got my doubts, you know, how good Florida State's going to be right out of the gate. So I lean the dog plus 11, but for the record, I'll just defer to the guys who are on the record on VSiN with plays on this game. Brad Powers, I believe, laid 10 with Florida State, so he's laying a good number with the Seminoles, if you want to look at it that way. Paul Stone playing over the total of 55, so those are a couple guys that I know you respect as well who have plays on this game, and like you said, I have nothing but a lean, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to bet it.
Yeah, we were talking to Brad on Tuesday night on VSiN Primetime, and the game had gone to 10, and he said he was hoping to see if it was 9.5 because his number, I think, came out around 12 or 13. So he said he was kind of in no man's land, but he was ultimately going to grab that 10, which I think you can get some offshore shops are at 10, and we might get ultimately back there. History might be made in Albuquerque because this line right now, Matt, is the biggest line ever from an FCS team over an FBS team, and it continues to climb. Montana State, a top five FCS program, is a 13.5-point favorite. And once upon a time at FanDuel over the summer, it opened 4.5, and it quickly got bet up to 9, and it's just been on the rise ever since. I have nothing on this game. JVT, who rode up the Mountain West for us, felt like it had gone too far, and I think he took 10.5 or 11. And it continues to climb. Maybe we get to 14 on this one. I don't handicap the FCS all that much. I kind of look for spots where maybe a quality FCS team can pick off a team as an underdog. But I can't get to the window with Montana State laying almost 2 touchdowns. Bronco Mendenhall, game one for him down in New Mexico.
Yeah, and I like the Bronco Mendenhall hire. I think this is going to be a really good thing for the Lobos in the long run. And get this thing turned around in Albuquerque, kind of the way Rocky Long, you know, had it going back in the day. And it's tough to build a program in Albuquerque, but I think Bronco Mendenhall's the right guy at the right time for New Mexico. As far as this number going up from 9.5, you know, recently to 13.5, which I'm seeing out there at the Westgate Superbook, and DraftKings still at 12.5 on this game. It's steam chasers. Just following the line move here. Montana State's a top five team in FCS, and I certainly deserves to be, I would say, a touchdown favorite. I'd say 7.5 is around where I thought this number should be. Now, you're getting up, if you get a 14, I might take New Mexico because I got a lot of respect for Bronco Mendenhall, who'd probably figure out a way to stay in this game. And you get to the point where you got an FCS team as a 2-touchdown favorite on the road against a well-coached team. I'm almost going to have to take the dog and take my chances with the Lobos. So I lean with JVT there, where I think this number is getting a little bit too inflated. Now, if you've watched New Mexico football the past few years, you're going to be really hesitant to bet on the Lobos, some of the ugliest offensive play you've seen. And hopefully Bronco's got a trick or two up his sleeve here, because I think what the Lobos are going to try to do is run the ball, shorten the game to try to stay in it. And that might be effective. We'll see. But I do like him a lot as a coach. And like I said, if this number goes to 14, you might meet. So I'll probably take a little bit of the Lobos here. But that's only because I think the numbers got too inflated.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And seven starters back for Montana State on offense. Tommy Mellott, a name that some might know if you watch some FCS playoffs. This is a very quality program, but I'm with you. I think the number's gone too far. I was hoping to get under a touchdown, or maybe just, you know, sometimes we see books mistakenly open up FCS teams as right. a dog. That was not the case here, and quickly folks jumped on it. Another game in week zero that's had a lot of line movement will be happening in our state, but not that close, up in Reno, as the Wolfpack welcome in Jeff Choate as their new head coach from Texas. The Ponies of SMU, now a Power Four program, Matt, jumping from the AAC to the ACC. Interesting to note here, it sounds like Preston Stone is not going to play the entire game. He's coming off injury from a season ago, so maybe they're going to try to get out with a win and move on. They have an FCS opponent in week two before I believe they go and play BYU on a Friday night. So another number that's been on a decent amount of movement. Touch 27 earlier this week has now been bought back down to 24.5, open 20.5. So I know people want picks, but you know, when we're sitting here on a week one, week two, whatever it may be, we're rifling through a lot more games. There's only four to pick through. So I don't have a play on this one. I think SMU is a team that is one that's gotten a lot of hype in the preseason. I have a little exposure over 7.5, but Matt, I'll be honest, this is one of the win totals that I am maybe not as excited about. I feel like I got a good number, but there's a little bit too much expectation, I think, from jumping from the G5 to the P4, but this shouldn't be an issue for them. Nevada is going to be one of, if not the worst team in the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, no question about that. And Jeff Choate, I think, is a coaching upgrade from what the Wolfpack have had in the last few years. Co-defensive coordinator at Texas. But I got to tell you, my scouts in Reno are not saying positive things about this Nevada team right now, saying he's got a long way to go to rebuild this thing, and the practices have not been pretty. That said, I did go ahead and take a little bit. It's like a third of a unit play, Tim, on Nevada plus 27. When I got up there, I thought the number was a little bit too high. I actually took that this week. So it's not even a bet I want to go on the record with. But like you said, you want to have action on some of these games. And when the number gets bet up from 20.5 to 27, you feel like you can make a case that you might be getting the best of it with the home dog here. And don't forget, a year ago, a lot of people thought Kansas was going to run with the Wolfpack off the field, and the Jayhawks struggled to win that game. I know you remember it, 31-24 up there in Reno. That was a game the Wolfpack had a chance to win, and Kansas escaped with a 7-point win. So I think the plus 27 here, which is still out there at Caesars and William Hill, I believe, right now, that's worth maybe a small play.
Final game, it's a game that you and I love. We cherish them. I don't know how the hell we're going to watch it, but Delaware State on the island against Hawaii. All sorts of travel issues this week for the Hornets of Delaware State trying to make their way out to the island. This is a Delaware State team that went 1-10 last year, outscored, I can't do the math, let's see if I could do it quickly, 119-20. Against the two FBS teams that they played a year ago. Mm-hmm. Their lone win came against a school called Virginia Lynchburg last season, whatever that is. I'm really excited about this Hawaii team this year, Matt. I went over their win total of 4.5, and I'll talk about this with Adam as well. I ended up laying a little bit on 38.5. To your point, it was like I don't even know if it was a half unit, but I needed action, and I think Hawaii could potentially name the score in this spot. Timmy Chang has come on VSiN before and said, usually for motivational purposes, they know what the numbers are. So it's 38. It was 38.5. It's now around 40.5. Stephen McBride, their leading wide receiver, is not going to play in this game, but I think they have the ability, if they want to name the score on the island against Delaware State, who is a bottom five FCS program. So I laid a little bit with Hawaii, but nothing, not anything massive here. But you know, to get the juices flowing, to have a late night Hawaii game on your card, it just feels right, Matt.
It does. I love it. You know how much I love the Saturday night games in Hawaii. I thought about flying out to Honolulu for this game.
Of course, I did.
I was looking at flights all week, trying to figure out if I could get there to catch that game and get back on a Sunday. And I said, "Nah, it's too much trouble to get out there to watch the Delaware State Hornets." Hey, the Hornets! I'm not even sure if they're out there yet. They missed the bus and their flight out of JFK Airport.
Disaster, yeah.
So it's one of the worst programs in college football. Like you said, a 1-10 team a season ago. Never underestimate, as I've said this for years, Tim, though, never underestimate the Virginia Lynchburg Dragons. They have a underrated program. Very, very. They're never an easy out. So that was a quality win to beat the Dragons. I would say Braden Schrager, I always say Schrager, it's Shager. Braden Shager, the quarterback for Hawaii's, probably going to put up pretty big numbers this season. I was not a big fan of his initially. I watch all the Hawaii games, obviously, and I love to bet Hawaii games. And Shager wasn't that accurate a passer. He's gotten better. He was 63% last year, 26 touchdowns, 14 picks, still threw too many picks. But he throws a really good deep ball. He's a good deep ball thrower to make up for maybe his lack of accuracy other parts of the field. But I do think he's become more accurate of a quarterback. Maybe that's because he's working with Timmy Chang a lot, and he's getting pretty good coaching. But I think Shager is going to be one of those guys who's going to have a big year. He's going to put up big numbers. And it's going to start with this game against the Hornets defense. And I played Hawaii here for a little bit at minus 38.5. And I'm also going to – what I'm going to do here, I hate to do a podcast here, Tim, in week zero and not give out any plays. So I'm actually going to go on the record with two plays and then a provisional play. So what I'm going to do with this game – is a half unit on Hawaii minus 38.5. Let's go a half unit on the first half. So that'd be, what are we looking at there? Do you think 21.5?
Let me find you the best number that's out there. 21.5 at DraftKings.
Okay. That's what I saw DK with. So let's go half unit, 21.5 in the first half. Half unit, 38.5 for the game, which is what I bet. You can still lay 39.5. Play the ball where it lies. You can put me down for that. That's okay. And
this game's going to land 42-3, and we're going to be like, we had 38.5, and it's 39.5 now.
Hey, you know how much I hate laying big numbers.
Yes, you do.
This is one of those games where I'll make an exception for a half unit play on each hat on the half in the game, because Hawaii should be up huge. I told Wes on the show the other night that the more I looked at this game and the personnel for both teams, it looks like a 56-10 type of game. And that might be a little bit conservative, but I think 56-10 is what I have in mind here, where Hawaii is going to be up big at halftime, probably call off the dogs because you got a UCLA game.
Yeah, UCLA,
on deck next week. And one other thing to mention with this, for anyone who's thinking about betting the total, it's 57.5. I don't think the tropical storms out in the Pacific are going to impact the islands this week. I was reading the weather reports, and it looks like none of that weather is going to hit Hawaii maybe until sometime late next week. So don't even think about that being an issue. But I did see reports about those tropical storms that may impact the weather in Hawaii. That's not going to be a factor this Saturday. So let's go with Hawaii laying the big numbers. I'm also going to go ahead and say I'll play, since I bet it, and that 27 still out there at Caesars. I'll go ahead and play Nevada plus 27. And, Tim, the provisional play, if it hits 14, I'm taking New Mexico plus 14. I'm not taking the 13.5 right now, but if you see it hit 14 before kickoff, I will be on the Lobos in that game as well.
All right, I'm riding with you. We'll ride together. I'll be texting you angrily at 11:15 p.m. to get the season rolling. What is wrong with this offense in Hawaii? How are they not winning this game? A tradition unlike any other. All right, Nevada plus 27, Hawaii first half and full game, half unit each. I'm riding full game with you. And then if it gets to 14, taking the Lobos. Matt, it's great to be back. We'll be back with a full show next Thursday, Wednesday. We'll figure out the dates, but fired up for another season with you, partner.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thanks.
Adam Burke coming up next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And as promised, Adam Burke joins the podcast and excited for another year with Adam. He and I will be back early week, breaking down what happened over the weekend, updated power ratings, taking a look at weekday games, as well as maybe incorporating my infamous letdown and look ahead spots. So looking forward to another year. Our first episode will be after week zero, so early next week. So make sure to continue to subscribe as everyone gets back into the fold of it. But Adam, we got, I don't know, is this an appetizer? Is this, I know you're really into the food scene. Is this what they would call an amuse-bouche? Like just a little appetizer? Like what is week zero? Because we only have four games involving FBS teams.
Do we want to say hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that maybe the way to go?
Is this a hot dog wrapped in a croissant or whatever? You know, the delicacy from all the weddings we've been to.
Yeah, I guess that sounds about right. Pigs in a blanket type
there
thing.
You go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Couldn't think of pigs in a blanket.
I mean, look, you know, I think Florida State and Georgia Tech is a really compelling game.
Yep.
The other games are kind of compelling from a betting standpoint because of the line movement that we've seen. I don't think any of the other three games are going to be what I would classify good football games, but Florida State, Georgia Tech has the chance to be. And of course, you know, starting in Dublin, early kickoff here for us out in the Pacific time zone. That's a fun way to start the season.
There's no doubt. Let's jump right into it. So we heard from Matt and I get a couple thoughts. Florida State, Georgia Tech, the only game involving a ranked team. Florida State is preseason top 10. They are the preseason favorite to win the ACC. And as you alluded to, we've seen line movement in this game. It touched 14. It didn't open 14, but it did get to 14 over the summer in favor of FSU. But this week, we've seen a steady stream of Georgia Tech money come in. And on Tuesday evening, this game got to 10, and it seemed like that was the buy point for line movers, and it got back to 10.5. So as we discuss right now, we're talking on a Thursday. There is one far-off land that does have a 10, but mostly it's a 10.5 out there. Total sits at 55.5. So, Adam, how do you look at this game? Because the question that I continue to come back to is Georgia Tech has the best quarterback, but where else are they better in this game?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I really like Haynes King. I thought Haynes King was really impressive last year for Georgia Tech. And of course, you know, there's the trend going around that Brent Key has been really, really good as an underdog with the Yellow Jackets. So, you know, now he's got a pretty good quarterback in Haynes King, who he didn't have, you know, in his first season there down in Atlanta. And something else too, I think is pretty interesting is that, you know, Georgia Tech's new defensive coordinator, Tyler Santucci, he's from Duke. He's off the Mike Elko coaching tree. That's not a bad place to go when you're looking for a DC. So, you know, I think the defense could be better. I think the offense will be good. You know, King is a guy that did turn the ball over a lot. 16 interceptions last year. That'll be the question for him, especially in a game like this against Florida State, who just is, let's be honest, the more talented team between the two by a pretty large margin. But, Tim, there is something I will say, and my number on this game is 13.5, so I don't have a play. I understand the rationale for the Georgia Tech money. I definitely get that. But look, I mean, the question that I have here for Florida State is offensively a lot of turnover, right? They lose Jordan Travis. They lose Trey Benson. They lose Keon Coleman, but they brought in a lot of talent and they bring back DJ Uiagalelei. The other thing is their offensive coordinator, Alex Atkins, is suspended for this game. So does that have any kind of impact? Does that matter? But I think ultimately it's a weird game being so far away over in Dublin. It's an early kickoff, you know, at least in terms of where we are. For them, it's kind of, you know, a primetime type of kickoff. There's just too many unknowns and uncertainties to really fall in love with either side of this game. But I think it's a game that'll tell us a lot about what to expect from Florida State early in the season. Georgia Tech returned a lot of guys. You know, they weren't ravaged by the portal, which I think kind of speaks to what Brent Key is doing there. But Florida State lost a ton. How quickly can they get back to being an efficient offense is the question, and we'll find out here, I think.
Yeah, and worth noting, I asked Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame, about the field conditions last year for Notre Dame Navy, and he said they were great. So I know people always wonder how a unique surface is going to hold up when we look at baseball stadiums for bowl games or Wrigley Field for regular season games, whatever it may be, and apparently Aviva Stadium should be just fine from that standpoint. Before we move on, you wrote up the ACC for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which, by the way, vsin.com/subscribe. Make sure to head on over there and get your hands on the guide. Still got everybody else to start their season next week, so still plenty of time and great, great information in there. How did you? What were your overall takeaways of both Florida State and Georgia Tech? Florida State win total 9.5, and I know friend of the show, our friend Brad Powers, I believe, gave out Georgia Tech under 5.5, I want to say, during the offseason on one of his podcasts. So don't quote me on that, but I believe he was just looking at the schedule for Georgia Tech. So overall, what were your takeaways on these two teams from a big picture standpoint?
Yeah, so talk about Georgia Tech first, where I only have Georgia Tech favored in 4 games, so I can understand Brad going under 5.5 wins. I have them down for 5.35, but again, as I mentioned, they're only favored in 4 games for me, so they're going to have to pick off a couple of teams if they want to be bowl eligible. And also, I mean, you know, a road game at Syracuse, I have them favored in right now, which they may not be favored. They're in that week 2 game up there at whatever they're calling the Carrier Dome now. So yeah, I think it is a little bit of a tricky schedule for Georgia Tech. They do play Miami. They play North Carolina, who I'm really high on. They play Florida State. They do avoid Clemson, but they also get Georgia in the rivalry game. So, you know, there's a lot of games for Georgia Tech that look really, really challenging. That said, I mean, again, they've been good in a dog roll. I think King, if you can cut down the interceptions, is, you know, maybe a top three, top four quarterback in this conference. And I think Brent Key's done a really good job with this program. So I think there's a path for them to get bowl eligible, but they are going to have to pick off a couple of teams on the way. As far as Florida State, I have 9.52 wins, so I'm pretty much in line with the market. Do have them favored in just about all of their games. They are a dog at Notre Dame, understandably, but I have them favored in all of their other games. Look, like I said, I mean, I think it's going to come down to how quickly the offense comes together. You know, I mean, they may still win games, but I don't know if they're going to cover some of the big spreads that they have. And the other thing is, you know, you lose a player like Jared Verse on defense, you know, pass rushers are just in such high demand now. And so they got to find somebody to kind of make up for that lost production for when they play, you know, some of the better teams that are on the schedule, like a Clemson, like an SMU, who we'll talk about here in a minute. So I have Florida State kind of right in line with the market. And I think the interesting discussion with Florida State, and I know I'm sure you've talked about this too, if they are a bubble playoff team, does the committee kind of apologize and have a mea culpa for what happened last year and give them the benefit of the doubt if they are 11-1, you know, if they hold up in all their favorite roles, as my numbers suggest?
We're sorry we left you out at 13-0, but Jordan Travis broke his leg against North Alabama, and we have to let Alabama in the playoff. That was basically what they said to the world last week. All right, let's go in chronological order. So Florida State, Georgia Tech, noon Eastern ESPN, 4 p.m. Eastern FS1. We've got FCS Montana State at New Mexico. New Mexico ushering in a new head coach in Bronco Mendenhall. They lost a ton. Their quarterback does return in Dampier, but this line is something, ladies and gentlemen. It opened over the summer, and I don't know how late into the summer, at FanDuel at 4.5. It quickly went up north of a touchdown, and it's been like on The Price is Right, you know, that that game where it just keeps going up and up the mountain. That's what this line keeps doing. It's now 13.5 at some spots, with Montana State being the favorite. This would be the biggest favorite ever by an FCS team over an FBS team, assuming this line holds. So I feel like this line has just gone nuts. We actually mentioned this game on the podcast, and I was hoping, Adam, you know, sometimes we get an underrated FCS team. Not going to be the case here. They're almost a 2-touchdown favorite, Montana State, in the Big Sky Conference. And I was just looking at Phil Steele's preseason magazine. They returned 7 starters on offense, including their quarterback. So a lot coming back for the Bobcats, but they are almost a 2-touchdown road favorite at New Mexico.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And you know, there's a lot of things to unpack here. I mean, first of all, strange job for Bronco Mendenhall to take. I mean, I guess he really, really wanted to be back on the head coaching sidelines, because there's just not a lot of expectation here for this team. I mean, if they win 3 games this year and go over their win total, that's a good season. So for
Mendenhall, ties to New Mexico, right? He was their D coordinator for 4 years before going to BYU. So I guess I understand the decision to get back into the coaching realm at a spot that he's familiar with. And maybe, hey, man, it's always great to take a job where there's no expectations.
Yeah, no, that's all fair. I mean, and there are no expectations. I mean, like I said, this win total's 2.5, and I have them well below that. I had them about 1.3 wins. So even though it's 2.5, I think this is a definite under type of situation here. Look, I mean, last year, you know, offensively, they were pretty impressive, but Bryant Vincent is now at Louisiana Monroe, where he just named General Booty the starting quarterback, all named team member. But Bryant Vincent did a lot with this offense last year. Now he's gone. I mean, I don't know how much of that has staying power here. I will say, looking at Jeff Sagarin's rankings, if you include his home field advantage, was about 2.45 points. He has this one lined about 10. So I'll be curious to see if we see any kind of market buyback in this one. But again, Montana State's a top five FCS team. And as you mentioned, they do return a little bit of firepower. They've got a very good program on a pretty much annual basis. No, if this gets to 14, I might just have to take New Mexico on principle, but I wouldn't be happy about it.
Devin Dampier is the starting quarterback for New Mexico. Pretty athletic quarterback. They did lose New Mexico, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. He went to Arizona, and I forget the stat JVT mentioned. I think he said that EPA, from EPA standards, or I think that was the number. I'm going to botch it, but they were like 11th best in the country in rushing last year, and that was basically solely because of Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. So he is gone, and a lot of other pieces are gone as well. But pretty wild to see a historical number there with an FCS team, almost a 2-touchdown favorite. And who knows, maybe they will be a 2-touchdown favorite by the time this game kicks off.
Well, and to that point, I think it's important to point out, I mean, there are 30 new head coaches in college football, but coordinators mean so much from a game planning standpoint, from a recruiting standpoint. Like, Bryant Vincent in a year turned New Mexico into the best offense they've had in quite some time. So I don't think Louisiana Monroe is going to be any good, but I'll look to bet overs in their games because I think he'll have an instant impact on their offense.
8 o'clock Eastern in our state, up in Reno, the Nevada Wolf Space Pack will take on SMU. The Ponies, a Power Four team, as that game is on, as mentioned, CBS Sports Network, and also on your national radio dial. Westwood One will be carrying SMU at Nevada, as my good friend Ryan Radke will be on the call of that game. This line has been moving a lot too, and we actually saw buyback on Nevada this week. Opened 20.5, got up to 27, and some buyback, a couple injuries percolating there with SMU. Also, the belief that Preston Stone, quarterback at SMU, probably not going to play the whole game. Nevada's pretty bad, man. I think this is going to be a massive rebuild. I've heard the saying all offseason, this is a year zero type of feel for Jeff Choate, who comes up to Nevada. I don't want to get involved in this game because I just don't know what SMU's thinking. Is it a let's get up and get out of here type of situation? Is Nevada going to play all 60 minutes because it's on national television? So 24.5. I don't really want to get involved with this one. I know you wrote the ACC, SMU now part of the ACC. What do you expect from the Ponies here in week zero?
Yeah, this is really tricky because perception and reality could be two different things for SMU throughout the course of the season. This week, I mean, they should win, whether they cover the spread or not, I don't know. But, you know, this is one of my biggest overlays in my power ratings here coming into the season. Their win total is pretty much 8 across the market. I have them with over 9 wins. At the same time, they haven't beaten Power 5 caliber competition very often here. They were 0-3 last year, including the loss to Boston College in the Fenway Bowl. They were 0-2 the year before, and they also lost to Cincinnati, UCF, and BYU, who all went to the Big 12 for the 2023 season. So effectively here, they're 0-8 in their last 8 games against Power 4/Power 5 level competition. Nevada is not that team, so I don't really worry about them here. But I do worry that my power rating may be a little bit too high on this team relative to the fact that when they've stepped up in class, they haven't fared well. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. I will say this, in this game, the closest I got to a pick this week was Nevada plus 27, and I wish I would have taken it. If nothing else, Jeff Choate is a guy who was co-defensive coordinator at Texas last year, was the head coach at Montana State. He's been a defensive coach for a long time. Nevada's defense should, at a minimum, be better. And as you mentioned, Stone's not going to play the whole game. Also, in the second half of this one, you're playing at 4,500 feet of elevation if you're SMU. So you're starting in week zero, which is a little bit weird to begin with. You're playing in Reno, place you never go. I couldn't find a game that they've played in altitude here recently, except for BYU, of course. And, you know, now they're in a situation where they got to play the full 60 and probably tire out a little bit in the second half. That makes it hard to cover, you know, a 27 type of number. Now at 24 and a half, 25, I'm less interested. Not that 27 is a key number or anything like that, but it's hard to take a bet at 25 when you could have had 27, you know? Yeah. So I still lean Nevada, and I may ultimately take this as a, hey, it's week zero, I want to have a play on something type of thing.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be from a power rating standpoint or anything like that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I did in the final game. The late night get back game, friend of the pod, Timmy Chang, and the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, midnight Eastern on Spectrum pay-per-view. So good luck trying to find that game as they host the Road Warriors that are the Delaware State Hornets, as this game has garnered a lot of attention because of the travel issues for Delaware State as they missed their flight to Hawaii. And I believe, as I've been trying to piece it together, Adam, I think they've been taking separate flights. It's been an absolute disaster for Delaware State to get out to the island. And the line's been on the move. I never saw it, but apparently there was a 27.5 out there at one point on this game, which would have been the lock of the century. Now it's 40, 40.5 on VSiN primetime earlier this week. I laid 38.5 with Hawaii. I know 39.5 is not a key number, so I guess I would play that. This is 100%, hear me out, I want action week zero bet, but Delaware State's awful. Like, they are a terrible, terrible FCS program. You talk about Montana State, who is a premier FCS program. Delaware State, I believe, and you'll have the numbers, I believe it's a bottom five FCS program. They went 1-10 last year. They lost 57-0 to Army. They lost 62-20 to offensively challenged Miami of Ohio. I think Hawaii is going to be able to score pretty easily. Timmy Chang very excited about this team. My only hesitation on this game would be the fact that they do play UCLA week one, CBS prime time. It's going to be a huge game for them at home. So at some point, do they want to just get out unscathed, take out Braden Schrager, take out their starters? Also, starter Steven McBride is not going to play, leading wide receiver from a year ago. Hawaii should still be able to handle Delaware State, but those would be my hesitations. But at the end of the day, I laid it with Hawaii just for some action. I think they have the ability to name the score in this game.
Yeah, they should be able to name the score. I mean, Jeff Sagarin ranks the 263 Division I teams, Division I-A and Division I AA. Delaware State is 258th. So for those that are curious, beneath them, Central Connecticut, Mississippi Valley State, West Georgia, Stetson, and Mercyhurst up there in Erie, Pennsylvania. So Delaware State is awful. There's no question about that.
Quality hockey program, though, up there in Erie.
Indeed. Yeah, our NHL guy from last year, Johnny Lazarus, played a couple of years at Mercyhurst before going to UMass. Also, my nephew-in-law played baseball at Mercyhurst, for what it's worth. So shout out, Dom. Look, in this game, I mean, yeah, Hawaii can name the score. The question is, what kind of score do they want to name? Because like you said, big game against UCLA coming up. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, is Timmy Chang going to want to go out there and embarrass somebody if given the opportunity? Because Delaware State is very ripe to get embarrassed in this game. Their only win last year over lower division Virginia Lynchburg. You mentioned the two FBS games they played. They were outscored 119-20. So, you know, Hawaii may not be able to stop themselves. And I also think, too, that, you know, in games like this, and we kind of talked about this on my appearance on Monday on VSiN Primetime, like, yeah, Braden Schrager's not going to play a whole lot. He's going to go out there. This will be treated like a preseason game for Hawaii. But at the same time, I mean, he's a senior and he's been there for a while. Somebody's going to have to take over this job next year. So for Chang, I think you kind of have to run the offense with, you know, your second string or your third string and find out what you actually have there. So maybe that is something that does benefit Hawaii backers in this game.
Yeah, and lastly, I'll say this, and Timmy Chang knows the number. He said as much. Usually uses that as motivation, but
I mean,
he knows.
Vegas is the ninth island, right? How many Hawaiians, you know, are betting the Rainbow Warriors on a weekly basis, whether they feel like they have an edge or they just want to?
Look, at the end of last year, this was a feisty team, and like I said, I'm drinking the Timmy Chang Kool-Aid. We gave it out in July when JVT and I did the special Mountain West podcast over 4.5 wins. I was happy to see the market move in that direction. Now 5.5 at some shops. So we're rolling with the Rainbow Warriors. We are a Rainbow Warrior podcast, and hopefully Hawaii takes care of business. I just got to figure out how to watch this thing without spending apparently like $70 to get this pay-per-view stream. I love Timmy Chang. I love Hawaii. I ain't spending $70 to get the Delaware State game. So if anyone has any ways to get this game legally, let me know. Okay. At one simmery.
Is your wife going to be pissed if you're watching Delaware State, Hawaii until like 12:30 in the morning at the M or something?
If I'm watching at my house, I think she'll be all right. But
that's what I'm saying. Well, yeah. If you can't get it at your house for a reasonable price.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we'll figure it out. We'll
also will like any of the sports books actually
probably not
spend the money for this game.
It is the last game, only game. Maybe
the Chase
someone,
game.
Maybe someone will. All right, Adam, that's going to do it for this, but we'll be back early next week. We've got week one line movements aplenty. We'll get your updated power ratings. We'll do it all. And man, it feels good to be back in the saddle, ready for another college football season.
Yeah, it does. We're going to have a very robust offering of football content over at vsin.com, both for college football and the NFL, including my weekly power ratings updates Sunday night/Monday morning to kind of prepare for this pod a little bit. So I'm excited to have football back. I know a lot of people are. And look, we're going to have a lot for you over at vsin.com. So if you're not a subscriber, good time to become one. But if nothing else, you know, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.
Yes, please do that. Let's keep it rolling. We've had a great summer. Thanks to all of you. And now the season is here. Thanks to Adam. Thanks to Matt Humans. I am Tim Murray. We are back early next week. 2 episodes every week in your feed. So make sure you tell everyone that the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast is ready for another run. Thanks to producer Ryan as well. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.